If you'll turn with me, I'm going to read in the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to be looking at a few verses in 1 Samuel chapter 16. But first of all, this one single verse in Acts 13 and verse number 36. Verse number 36. This morning talking about serving God's purpose for this generation. Serving God's purpose for this generation. Verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. David was a special man of God. Amen. A special man of God who served his own generation by the will of God. Then skip over with me to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning with verse number 6. 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. He said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it interesting how God calls and who God calls? It's an interesting thing. It does everyone good. And I appreciate the opportunity when the Lord gives us the opportunity, to go away. And, you know, just to be away for a few days, you gain a different perspective on things. Would you agree with that? Most everybody here this morning, is there anyone here that you've never been out of the state of Kentucky? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Paul has never been out of the state of Kentucky. Anybody else? I've met a few people that have never been out of the state of Kentucky. Well, there is life beyond Kentucky. There are people out there. And we were in 2 different cities, Colorado Springs and Denver, for the last 8 days. And Colorado Springs, as you know, is a place where there's a lot of major ministries there, churches there, and you can sense that. And I'm not superstitious, but you can just sense that there's this kind of an influence that's there with Dr. Dobson's ministry, Focus on the Family, and all these various ministries that are there, other missions groups that are established there, and that's kind of the central hub for a lot of ministries there in Colorado Springs. But the days that we were in Denver, Colorado, I had a totally different feel, a totally different perspective on that situation. Now, I'm getting somewhere. Just stay with me for a few minutes here this morning. There are 2.5 million people that live in the city of Denver, Colorado. Now, it's a beautiful place, packed full of people, and we got caught in huge traffic jams several times, masses of people, but I noticed a void there in that place. I noticed a void as far as what I was perceiving as far as the spiritual need of a big place, a big city. Just looking through the yellow pages, and I was looking at church listings. And under Assemblies of God churches, there were like 11 churches listed there in the city of the Denver metro area.
Now, let me just give you a contrast to that. If you go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, in a metro area of around 1 million people, so less than half the size of that, there is at least 50 Assemblies of God churches in the metro area of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so you can see the difference. I looked at, I always like to go to bookstores, and I couldn't find major Christian bookstores there. Only two major Christian bookstores. I'm talking there about big stores like Family Life or Family Christian Books and Lifeway and some of these major bookstores. Only two in the entire population of 2.5 million people in the motel flipping through the TV stations. And by the way, there's two words that describe what's on TV these days. Stupid is one. And what's the other word I'm thinking of? Vile is a good word. And as I flip through, most places you go, when you flip through, you'll find a couple or three Christian stations for whatever they're worth. There wasn't even a Christian station out of maybe 40 or 50 television stations. Wasn't even a Christian station. We found one Christian radio station playing. That doesn't mean that there aren't more than that. I'm just talking about our experience and what I was perceiving there in that place. And as I saw these masses of people, I realized, and I think about this often when I go to cities that I'm not familiar with, is that I am a contemporary with these people. I'm living and breathing the same years that they're living. They're a part of my generation. They're a part of the generation that I am a part of. Now, whenever the scripture says that David, he served God, he served God's purpose by the will of God. He served the Lord. He served his generation by the will of God, and then he died. That was his existence. Do you know that a lot of people, they just live out the days of their life? And that always goes through my mind when I'm in places and I don't know all these masses of people. And I'm wondering, how many of them, do any of them know about the Lord? Do any of them have any experience? Do they know the Word of God? Have they been exposed to the Word of the Lord? And I know that God has remnants of people all over the country and all over the world. But it ought to be something that concerns you concerning your generation. Amen. It ought to be something that concerns us all. David served his generation. He was used of God to fulfill the purpose of God in his generation. Amen. And this is something that every one of us need to be thinking about, concerned about, especially in light of the times that we're living in right now. These are critical times. These are crisis times. And whenever there is a crisis that is going on in our world, then we respond and we react differently. We need to understand that we are placed here for such a time as this, and we have a calling and a purpose that God has given to every one of us. And David was able to live out his life, and he fulfilled the purpose of God. He did the will of God, and then he died. Other people in this world, by the multiplied millions, they just live out the days of their life. They get up, they go to work, they come home, they go back, they go to sleep, they get up, they go to work. I mean, not that that's not an important thing. It is important, but I'm just talking about the fact that the most important thing that we are to do is to understand why that God put you where you are, and that you are fulfilling the purpose of God in your life without any realization or understanding of God's purpose and his destiny. You know, whenever there is a crisis, everything is perceived differently whenever there's a crisis. The day before 9/11, where there was 3,000 people that were killed in those twin towers, the day before people came to work, they went into those buildings. Some of them were corporate executives, stockbrokers, wealthy people, wearing designer clothes and drove up in these really expensive cars. Many of them with wealth and maybe MBAs, lots of education, lots of experience, and people that would be labeled successful as far as this life is concerned. But on 9/11 that morning, they all came to work. There were others that were coming to work that morning that were, they were just service people. They were just people like the janitors and the different people, security people who maybe weren't looked upon as people who really were all that valuable. But whenever the crisis came, they were all the same. They were all the same, needing to get out of that building. They were all the same. It didn't matter how much money they had, how nice their clothes or their cars were. It didn't matter their education or, what their role or their position in life was. None of those things were important when the crisis hit. It's interesting that the real greatness really was revealed that day in the fact that all these people were running out, but the real great ones were running in. All those first responders. They were the ones and the crisis always reveals greatness. It always reveals those that are willing to sacrifice and to give of themselves. I'm talking about serving this generation by the will of God, for the purpose of God, and how that we can be that person that God would have us to be for this generation. Are you allowing your troubles and your problems just to pound down upon you and weigh you down and to blur your realization of what God is wanting to do and how that He's working in your life? I encourage you to see, as it's revealed in the life of David, that David served his generation by the will of God. That's the most important thing. Are you doing the will of God? Are you fulfilling the purpose of God with your life? Are you? Are you doing what the Lord has called you and has equipped you and has prepared you to be? Well, I trust that you are. Now, in the life of David, there are a few things that prepared him and helped him to be ready to minister and to serve his generation. I want to be able to serve my generation. Let me tell you, I realize the importance of the fact that we gather together, the importance of the church, the importance of the fact that three or more times a week that there is the ministry of the Word of God in this location, that people come together in the name of the Lord in this location. It's an important thing. We have a purpose. We have a calling, and it's important that we are here in this place. Amen. Glory to God. David served his generation, and I believe that the Lord is calling us to do the same thing, to serve our generation. Let me mention about three things, maybe four things here this morning that were helpful as far as David in serving his generation. The first thing was the preparation time in his life. He didn't despise the days of small things. He did not see those times as times that were not important and valuable. As a matter of fact, later on, he looked upon his experiences of taking care of his father's sheep, and he continually drew from those experiences. He drew from those experiences. What he learned out there taking care of his father's sheep prepared him to face a giant, Goliath. What he learned out there taking care of his father's sheep in learning to play the harp and to worship, all of it. We have many of the Psalms today because of those early preparation days that David had. Not only that, but David was able to play and literally send the demons to flight away from Saul whenever he played with such anointing and inspiration. Those times that were the small times, the obscure times, when his life didn't really seem like that he was making any difference in the world, those were times that God was preparing him for what he was going to do with him later on in his life. Everyone has that experience. Moses, before he led the children of Israel forth, he was 40 years hid, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. On the backside of the desert, the very desert experience that he had there was preparing him for leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. All that he experienced there in obscurity and being unknown during those years were all times that he was being prepared to serve his purpose in his generation. So do not despise the small things in your life. Don't despise the small ways that God is working in your life right now, because God is at work and He's preparing you for other things that He wants to do. Most of us remember, we've heard Brother Clint Denon say many, many times that the school of Christ wasn't even established till he was 70 years old. And he said all those other years were years that the Lord was preparing and working and preparing him for him to establish that work and for it to go internationally, touching the lives of the nations. And all of the other times were preparation times. Don't despise the day of small things. And David didn't do that. He was there taking care of his father's sheep. And it seemed, no doubt, like a humble and the most unlikely person to be chosen as king. But Samuel was led by the Spirit of God to the household of Jesse. And he would not let anybody sit down until finally David was brought from the wilderness. And there, anointed to be king of Israel. Paul the Apostle, before he went forth in his ministry, at least 3 years on the backside of the deserts of Arabia, there in preparation and the Spirit of God preparing him for the work and the ministry that he was going to have. Even the Lord Jesus, his ministry on earth was only 3 years, 3.5 years, just a short little span of time of his public ministry. And the rest of those years were hidden years, quiet years, just in submission, in humility, doing the will, not despising the small things, working as a carpenter, humbly submitting himself. This was the Son of God giving us the example of how that we are to fulfill the purpose of God in our life. Don't despise the small things in your life. Amen. Amen. But understand that God's at work. Even in the small and the unlikely things, God can prepare you for the days that are ahead, if you will allow him to. Not only was David in a time of preparation, not only was that getting him ready to serve his generation for the will of God, but also the fact that David was a man who allowed God to change his heart. Amen. David is known and identified by God himself as a man after my heart. After my heart. David was a young man, but his focus was entirely upon the things of the Lord. Several verses he describes the word fixed. My heart is fixed, O God, on thee. There was a focus. There was this narrow focus of what his understanding of what God's purpose for him was. He didn't know all the details of it. He just wanted to fulfill the will of God and do what the Lord would have him to do. To live out his days, affecting his generation. Does it ever even cross your mind? Do you think about it? Do you consider the fact that there are people all over this world and they are contemporaries to you? They are a part of your generation and that we all have a responsibility to a world that is in such great need. David allowed his heart to be touched by God. Amen. It's out of your heart that everything else flows. Amen. And everything flows and issues out of your heart. So there has to be a heart change. There has to be a transformation of your heart and your spirit so that then when you are fulfilling the will of God, you're not just doing a duty. You're not just fulfilling some task that you have been called upon, but it's pouring out of you. It's your heart that has been changed and touched by the Lord. Amen. David wasn't perfect. Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance. But again and again, even there in that psalm, that prayer of repentance, he's talking about his heart, creating me a clean heart, O God. This was the psalmist who had sinned and committed this terrible public sin that all of the nation was humiliated and degraded by. And now here he is coming back to the Lord. Even though he had failed the Lord, he comes running back to the Lord. Cleanse my heart. Created me a clean heart. Oh God, cause my heart to be changed. Renew a right spirit within me. That's verse 10 in Psalm 51 and verse 17. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. He went on and talked about the fact, oh Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Do this work in me. Renew this work. It was a prayer of complete contrition, repentance, calling upon the Lord. David had a heart after God. Amen. If you're going to serve God's purpose for your generation, you're going to have a heart change. You're going to have a heart that's after God. Scripture says in the story that we read about David's calling, they looked upon him and the Lord said, don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. That is such an important thing. God sees in ways that we don't see. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I know that a lot of people have used that verse to excuse immodesty and dressing in ways that dishonor the Lord. And that's not at all what that's talking about. It just simply takes it a step further, that whenever you do those things, God sees the motive for why you're doing it. This is the season when everyone, you know, strips off and all the men have to either be staring at the floor or at the clouds, because it is such a time of immodesty and inappropriate dress. And it's the expected thing, or seems to be the normal thing. And now if you go out in public and you're dressed in a way that honors the Lord, you're looked upon like, who's that person? Peculiar, strange. That lady's in a dress. Ooh, who is she? And many times they'll walk right up to them and say, where do you go to church? Because they identify. Man looks on the outward appearance. Man sees what's on the outside, but God sees the heart. God sees the motive for what you're doing. He sees your heart. Amen. There may be one lady who dresses immorally because she has a lascivious spirit. Or maybe another one does it because she's insecure and she's trying to, you know, to fulfill her expectations. Others' expectations. And there's a lot of motives, and that's what God sees. He sees to the depths of your heart and your motive and why you do what you do. Amen. I didn't really plan on talking about all that, but it's just here in the Word of God. Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord, He sees the heart. He sees the motive for what you're doing. He sees your desire that's in your heart for the things that you're doing. You need to have a heart change. Amen. It has to go deeper than just actions and just the fulfilling of duties. You can clean up everything on the outside and be and look like that everything's fine and still have an evil, wicked heart. Amen. You have to go deeper than that. It has to be an expression of your heart, your relationship with God. You do what you do because you're not living by a list of rules. You do what you do because you love the Lord. It's out of an expression of your relationship to Jesus Christ and your obedience to the Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. The heart that pleases God. Amen. So first of all, David was able to minister to his generation and serve his generation because he didn't despise the years of formation. He didn't despise the small things. He saw everything as a part of God's plan and purpose and putting in everything together so we could fulfill his will. Hallelujah. And then he allowed God to change his heart, to change his heart. He wanted a pure heart. He wanted a heart that was willing and obedient. He wanted a heart that was broken and contrite. He wanted a heart that was pleasing to the Lord, that was focused. My heart is fixed, oh God, on thee. It was focused upon the Lord, upon the things of the Lord. That was the thing. He was set and established in his focus upon Christ and on pleasing the Lord. And if you want to have an effect upon your generation, let the Lord change your heart. Amen. Let the Lord change your heart. And when you have a change of heart, everything else will be changed. Amen. Out of the heart, everything else flows. The issues of life, everything pours out of your heart. Your actions, your words, your speech, your daily activities, the decisions that you make, where you go, what you wear, all of these things are affected by a heart that loves the Lord and wants to please God. Hallelujah. David affected his generation because he had a heart that was after God. When he went after Goliath, it wasn't because he wanted to show who he was. He understood. He was defending the name of the Lord. He wanted to please God and to honor the Lord. And there was no one there in that vast army who was willing to step forward and to defend the name of the Lord. And that was his motivation. That was his heart, to please the Lord. Amen. That day, God saw his heart. David, that sweet singer of Israel, singer who loved the Lord, that worshiper who loved the Lord in those quiet, lonely times, taking care of his father's sheep, getting closer to the Lord, ministering to the Lord, developing that closeness, that intimacy, a fellowship with the Lord. And that's why his heart, God saw his heart and said, this is a man I can use. Don't look on the outward appearance. Everyone else, we've already tried that. We've tried Saul, who was head and shoulders above everybody else. And we've already tried that. Let's choose this man that above all, he has a heart after God. Amen. Glory to God. You want to serve God and your generation, the purpose of God in this generation, and follow these examples of David. He didn't despise the years of the small things, the years of preparation. He let God, he gave his heart completely without reserve to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then the third thing was he was dependent upon this anointing of the Spirit of God upon his life. Amen. The Bible says that when he came forth, that Saul, or that Samuel, poured that anointing upon him. And the scripture says from that day forward, he was never the same. He was a different person from that day forward. There was this abiding presence of the Spirit of God that was on him. The reason he was able to have such an effect upon his generation, it was the move of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. David Wilkerson, in one of the messages that I heard during the time of his funeral, talked about the fact, he said, I don't have the internet. I don't have the television. He listed all those things. He said, I don't want anything to distract me from my focus upon the purpose of God. The purpose of God. Amen. You say, man, people like that, they seem so strange and they seem so almost weird. They are to this generation, but they also have a powerful effect upon this generation for Christ, because they have set their focus upon the things of the Lord. The most important thing is that we don't depend upon our own ability or our human strength, but instead we depend upon the anointing of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We go forth in the power of the Spirit of God. We aren't to be Pentecostal in name only. We are to be filled with the Spirit, anointed of the Spirit of God, so that all that we do, we go forth in the power of the Spirit of God. Nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with Bible school. Nothing wrong with seminary and these things. They have their place. I understand that. But give me a man who has been alone with God for a while. Give me someone who's been in the Word of God and has spent time in the presence of the Lord, and they can stand and they have the heart of God, and they speak for the Lord, and they have the anointing of the Spirit of God upon their life. That's a person who will affect his generation. Hallelujah. And I want to be able to do that. I want to do that. I want to have that kind of an effect. All this week, different times when I would see, mostly it was in the times when we were stuck in the traffic of like six lanes and everybody going the same direction. And I keep wondering, where is everybody going? And why are they all doing it at the same time? All these masses of people. And I know in my heart that the largest majority of them don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. Many of them haven't heard the gospel. At least they are not following in the ways of the Lord. Here you have 2.5 million people in this massive city, and there's such a need for the gospel, such a need for an influence. It reminded me again and again of how important it is that we are right where we are and that we are to have an effect upon our generation, our contemporaries that are around us. Amen. We need to be a local church. Yes, having an influence here locally, but we need to be even more than that. We need to be a local church, but we need to be having a regional influence. We need to be having a national and an international influence by the power of the Spirit of God. We need to serve our generation by the will of God. Understand that God's put you and He's put me where we are for His purpose. You know, it used to be when people would leave the church and go out into ministry, other places, that it really bothered me a lot. It's still, it's hard for me, but I always thought, you know, folks just need to stay home and stay here. But the reality is that God many times picks up people right out of your congregation, puts His hand upon them, sends them to another state or to another nation, and uses them in that place. And so, you know, instead of pouting around about it, what we need to do is we need to say, Lord, You're sending them forth into the harvest, and we're making an investment into the harvest. And when they go forth, then we pray with them, we pray for them, and we ask the Lord to help them to go forth from us. That's what they did in the book of Acts. They sent them forth. Amen. Glory to God. And so the Lord knows what He's doing whenever He calls and He equips and uses a local church to serve this generation. And then, and one more thing, David was always willing and available. Always willing and available. Immediately after this anointing upon him, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul and after David is anointed, then the anointing leaves Saul and an evil spirit comes to Saul. And it's David that's the one that is chosen. God has already prepared him and chose him. Here he comes into the palace. He comes right into the presence of the king, the one that he's going to succeed. And Saul doesn't even know that it's his successor. And he's the one that God is using there to minister to him. Amen. And David is willing, no doubt realizing that his own life is at risk, but he goes there willing to be used of the Lord. And by his ministry, those demon spirits are sent to flight. And Saul is given freedom from that evil spirit that's tormenting him. And David is being used. And he's willing to let the Lord use him in whatever capacity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I really believe that the Lord, He's called us to have an effect upon this generation. David served his generation by the will of God, and then he died. Amen. Sister Belinda was talking about this sister who was describing her life. And I want to fulfill, I want to live out the days of God's purpose for me, and then I'm ready. I'm ready. And we put ourselves totally into the hands of the Lord. Are you willing? Are you available? Are you ready to be used of the Lord to serve the Lord and to serve your generation by the will of God? I trust that you are. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to us. We know that each one of us individually, we have a place. We have a purpose. We have a calling and a ministry. And Lord, we want to live out the days of our life fulfilling your purpose in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are able. You are able, God, to do a work. You're able to do a work among us and to use us, Lord, for your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Don't despise the small things, even in those formation, preparation times, however long that it might be. Sometimes, as it was with Moses, many, many years. However it is, let the Lord work in you and prepare you for things He wants to do in your life Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Serve this generation by the will of God. Live out the days of your life with more than just an existence, but live out the days of your life fulfilling God's purpose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we know, Lord, that there's so many people around us, locally and all over the world, and they need you so desperately. And I know, Lord, that we can't reach them all, but Lord, the ones that are within our reach, the ones, Lord, that you have equipped us and prepared us, Lord, to reach, by whoever and by whatever means, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts to see the possibilities, the ways, Lord, that we can touch the lives of people. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. When doors open for ministry, you know the Lord, he has his own way of preparing you. Amen. Glory to God. Just the other day, I got a call from Brother Harry Ormsby. In our conversation, he was saying, you know, the doors are now open wider for opportunity in jail, the local jail ministry. He says it was very restricted, but now we're able to organize more services and involve more people in the local churches. And so thank God for that opportunity. He said, if you have people in your church that are interested in being involved in some of these jail services, let me know. Amen. Maybe you. Maybe some of you. Maybe the Lord's been working in your life to prepare you for this ministry, to touch men and women who are in this need, this predicament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You can serve this generation by the will of God. Is there anyone here today, you don't know the Lord, you're not a Christian, you really recognize your need of God, you're living out your life without any real direction or purpose, and you want the Lord's will in your life. You want to do His will. You want to serve your generation by the will of God. I encourage you to respond. Come to the Lord. Let the Lord help you. Speak to you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you're not a Christian, that's the starting point. Give your heart to the Lord. Get right with the Lord. Be born again. If you are a Christian, make a renewed commitment and a dedication to God's will and God's purpose for your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray. If you would, just gather in here. You're all welcome. Visitors, you're welcome. Join us here around this altar and just pray for a while before we're dismissed from this service today. Hallelujah. Every one of us with a calling. Every one of us with a purpose. Lord, help us to fulfill your will. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you come? Would you pray? Everybody finding a place to kneel, to pray. Let's call upon the Lord together here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.